was listening to a lot of ska music this week because I was thinking about maybe covering Say Ferris's version of Come On Eileen.
Oh, yeah?
And it kind of got me down a ska rabbit hole. I was talking about Rancid on the group chat.
Right, right.
And then at one point my wife was like, why are you listening to so much ska? It's not good.
Oh, man.
Hit the theme, Jack.
Run like a wild man.
I watch you struggle and I watch you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Jared. And my guy, Bryce Brown, shooting that thing from way downtown.
You are listening to the first ever live-to-tape recording of the Orange and True podcast, recorded in front of a live audience of what appears to be about, what did you say here, Chief, a couple hundred?
I'd say...
at least 1,000.
1,000?
Baseball crowds are bigger than you think.
Well, okay. This thing only holds maybe 2.
No.
1,000?
I'm going to look that up.
Okay.
I'll say with everybody here and outside in the parking deck, I'd say 1,000.
We are at...
We're right and round.
Plainsman Park at Samford State? No. What is this place called?
Plainsman Park. Stadium, really?
Plainsman Park.
It's Sam, okay.
Yeah. Samford Stadium, Plainsman Park at something else.
Off Heisman Drive, right?
Off Heisman Drive. It's got a lot of names.
Technically, we're in the stadium.
Drew McCracken parking is deck. So mad at us for not knowing the full exact name of...
Just go ask Ives.
So we are the correct Plainsman Park time, 7:39 p.m. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, brought to you cordially by Champs. Actually,
no,
we're no longer sponsored. We are sponsorless as of last
week. We are free men.
We're harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. But I have to say, first of all, thanks to Champs Chicken for your long-term sponsorship. We really enjoyed it. I still do love Champs Chicken.
They're the reason we sound as good as we do, and we've ruined that by coming to a live event.
It's true. And if you want to continue to sponsor us, or anybody wants to sponsor us, just send a message to any of us on the Twitters.
The official name here is Samford Stadium Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park.
That's the one I couldn't remember.
Its capacity, I was way off. I cut it in half, so it's a 4,096.
Wow. I'm telling you, that's about 1,000 people. There's 150 dogs.
You're right.
There's 150 dogs.
Yeah, it is Bark in the Park, right? Or whatever we're calling it.
Barkley in the Parkley?
A wolf in the...
Basketball. Good basketball reference. I am Son of Crow at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter. You can find me at Son of Crow on Venmo. As so many of you have, and I really am thankful to all of you who have decided to send me your dollars just for my ridiculous song. To one side of me, amateur statistician, our engineer, your favorite host, Ryan Starrett.
That was a great strikeout. I didn't have anything to say, but big strikeout right here in the baseball game.
To the other side of me is giving you full Fort Payne ASMR and watching a little baseball.
More nasally than usual.
A big fan of Echo and the Bunny Man.
Yeah.
AU Chief.
Hey. Hey there.
I think they're just making stuff up now.
Greetings, Orange and Truthers. We like to find obscure bands that Ryan's never heard of that were really big and huge influences on YouTube. Do you know who that band is? YouTube. It's an Irish band.
You say YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube.
YouTube.
Yeah. Irish band. YouTube. You probably have an album that they gave you on your phone. The benevolent gods that are YouTube.
You probably didn't have a phone yet at that point.
Oh, gosh.
I was in college. Come on.
Chief. How young is he? Ryan is so young. How young is he? All right, so I'm going to start coming up with those jokes. Ryan's so young. How young is he? Oh, man. All right. We're live from Plainsman Parking Deck, as we said. This is going to be a little free-flowing episode as well, because I'm distracted by the baseball, but all the sweet, sweet.
Are you just
going to
sing the whole episode?
No, I don't have to, because you can hear it. You can hear the baseball. I don't have to be the ambiance.
Who we got on the mound?
Number 8.
I'm not sure who's pitching right now.
Number 8 is pitching for the Auburn Tigers.
It is not going great. We were up 3-1.
It's not Dick Fitz.
Walked in a few runs.
We're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk basketball. We're going to maybe even talk football.
Have some special guests.
Maybe.
We're going to have special guests. But first, Ryan wants to do trivia.
Okay.
We probably can't talk about what's going on in the game without getting in trouble from Fox.
This is a hypothetical game.
Also, you probably don't want to know what's going on right at the moment.
I've got three trivia questions. We can do all of them. We don't have to do all of them.
Let's do them all.
Just see what sounds good to you guys.
I got one that I think I know.
All right. One of them comes from James. James Jones.
Jimmy Jonesy.
So the first question. With Texas Tech and Auburn in the Final Four this weekend, there are two teams making their first appearance in the Final Four. When is the last time that's happened?
2017.
When was the last time two teams
just
made
ruin
it?
Ruin it, Chief. Come on.
I don't know. That was my guess.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Well, I was going to guess Florida's
name
first
the teams.
Year.
Yeah. Name the teams.
In 2017?
Chief, name the teams.
Oh, it was Loyola of Chicago with Sister Jean.
Wait.
That was last year.
Oh, yeah,
this is 2019, guys. Come on.
Sorry.
You're still right with 2017.
I know the team.
Okay.
I don't know.
They seem obvious.
Yeah,
one of them doesn't
like it.
It's Gonzaga.
Oh, gotcha.
And
see, I figured the other one would be easy.
It wasn't Butler's year.
No, it was Gonzaga. Oh God!
I thought you would have had this other team. Jeez.
I was looking at this the other day. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, I know this.
Here's the thing about that Butler team. Everyone talks about. Remember when Butler was like, everyone was like, hey.
They made two
team,
Final
Cinderella.
Fours.
They had Gordon Haywood on their team. Like,
that's true.
They had a first round.
And the coach of the Boston Celtics.
Current superstar in the NBA on their team. They didn't just like luck in. They weren't some scrappy old underdogs.
No, they were a Cinderella when they beat Florida.
Way to get out of the
year. 2001.
Yeah. You aren't a Cinderella if you have a lottery pick on your team anymore.
Anyways, who's the second team?
Gonzaga and the team that.
Come on, Chief.
I was looking at this the other day. Okay.
Frank Martin.
Oh, yeah, South Carolina. That's right.
South Carolina.
Yeah, that's the reason I don't want to remember that is I was like, oh, yeah, they made it there their first time and then didn't win.
All right.
I don't think their team was as good.
I'm going to say this probably 10 times.
It's everybody's favorite show.
Silva. Yeah. Hey, it's Dr. McLaughlin.
There he is.
I'm probably going to say this 10 times this episode, but this is the first time I'm going to say it. We could lose by 50 on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I do not care.
That's not going to happen because there's no way Virginia can score 50 more points than we can.
Yeah, they'd have to take points away from us.
And I won't care. This is the most house money that I have ever been playing with emotionally in my life.
Here's the thing. This is kind of an interesting take, and I don't think many people agree with me on this one. This is how I felt in 2013 with the football team.
That's exactly
By the
I
time
felt.
We got to the national championship, a lot of people were heartbroken.
No, I didn't care at all we lost.
I couldn't be mad.
No,
I was.
That was the greatest football season I had ever seen, and it was my freshman year. I got to see all these games live.
Yeah, I
couldn't be mad at it.
I wasn't heartbroken at all.
I was pretty bummed.
So if we get to the championship game and lose by less than 10, it's gonna hurt. But yeah.
Had we lost in 2010 to Oregon, I would have been really bummed.
Yeah,
heartbroken.
But 2013 was
so unexpected. I was
pretty bummed because I was there and we had it won, and then it just slipped right through our fingers. That hurt.
But do you think of the 2013 team any less? Or
no. I mean, I feel like we were the better team in that game. We just kind of let it slip through our fingers. It's fine.
But to me, that is almost going to 2013 BCS championship is more believable, more probable, and more likely than Auburn basketball.
Yeah.
Making the Final Four after beating a Kentucky team, a Kansas team, and a North Carolina team that, if that wasn't the best team in America that we played and beat, I don't know what that looks like. Because the North Carolina team statistically was the best. Oh, they have been the best basketball team in America playing college basketball.
I think they definitely were. They had almost just as much talent as Duke, and I just think they were a more cohesive team than Duke was.
I was on the Wishbone podcast, and those guys talked about how the North Carolina game is basically the miracle in Jordan-Hare, because as amazing as that was, it was eclipsed immediately by the next
game.
It was the greatest moment in Auburn's history of that sport until it wasn't
2 days later.
But to me, like, when I look back at this team, that's the game I'm going to go, holy cow, they beat that North Carolina team. Because in 5 or 6 years, when three of those guys on North Carolina team are making NBA All-Star rosters, you're going to go, well, we beat you in the freaking Elite Eight.
You blew them out in the Elite Eight.
In the Sweet 16.
We had the best player on the floor.
We had the best player on the floor.
That's what was wild about it. The best player on the floor.
The other team had probably three first-round draft picks, or at least three draft picks, and we had the best player on the floor.
Yeah. for that night.
Javon McCormick.
Yeah. Javon has had,
he's had a
magical March.
He might be my sneaky pick in our Auburn basketball decathlon.
Oh, yeah?
We talked about this before the show. If you had to pick one player on the men's basketball roster to try out for every single other men's varsity sport, which player would you take? Because he would make the most rosters on the other sports as walk-ons. And Chief and Ryan both immediately said classic Malik.
That's been my platform for months. Yeah, so I want to see him play every sport.
Classic Malik is the pick. But to me, what Javon McCormick is able to do in terms of just the sheer, that dude has so much bounce for a guy his height.
Yeah.
It would not shock me if he could do high jump. It wouldn't shock me if he's fast enough to run sprints. To me, he's a sneaky athlete on this team.
He's pretty quick. He might, I think I said this in our group chat, I think he might actually be faster than Jared Harper, which is incredible.
That is incredible. So we've got some notes here against, you have here, Ryan, New Mexico State. Do you mean?
I type over the same notes every week.
Yeah, okay. No worries. Yeah. But against the North Carolina Tar Heels, coached by Roy Williams, against the University of North Carolina Tar Heels.
Michael Jordan's team.
Yeah. Michael Jordan. Vince Carter's team.
Vince Carter.
Atlanta Hawk, Vince Carter.
Yeah, great. Atlanta Hawk, great.
Tyler Hansborough.
Tyler Hansborough. Rasheed Wallace. I mean, the names of guys who've gone to that school and played basketball. Cameron Johnson, who's a really good player.
Yeah.
Plays for him right now.
Yeah.
Kobe. Not that Kobe, the other Kobe. The one who's there
hey,
currently.
Kobe. Yeah.
A guy named Kobe.
Yeah, spelled differently. C-O-B.
My way, high school stat teacher.
If it wasn't, for Chuma Piki, that dude was the best player on the court.
Yeah.
Kobe White was a stud.
Yeah.
It is a stud. So Chuma, 20 and 11, and went 3 from 5 for 3.
And missed the last 9 minutes of the game.
Yeah, he only played about 25 minutes in this game.
Jared Harper, 9 points, 11 dimes. Do you realize Auburn is 19 three-pointers away from the all-time NCAA record for three-pointers made in the season? Which means in two games.
What if we make 19 against UVA?
Well... at our average.
That's like every possession against UVA.
For one.
With our average, we would need two more games, which is possible.
Yes.
Could you imagine winning the national championship and setting an NCAA record for three-pointers made in a season, Ryan?
Didn't Villanova do that? Like,
with zero,
last year.
Zero NBA players in your starting five.
Yeah.
Gosh. With one of your starting five being the 72nd best player in the tournament. In the Sweet 16,
In the Sweet 16, yeah.
Good.
With zero All-Americans.
Hey, guess who was the MVP of the regional tournament, though?
Who was it?
Jared Harper.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know they announced that.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, take me back. I'm going to ask the three people, because we have a special guest I'm about to introduce. Mm-hmm. What was going through your brain? 8 minutes left in the game. Chuma Okeke.
I was terrified, because the lead wasn't huge at that point. It was, what, like a 9-point lead, maybe?
Marcello called it 808 and heartbreak.
Right.
But hey, look.
That's a great headline.
I've actually really enjoyed his stuff the last couple of days. And that was one reason. That's my favorite Kanye album, which is a huge unpopular opinion, but it's mine.
So with 8 minutes left, a 6-point lead is our special guest that you're about to hear. What are you telling me, 14?
Fourteen.
It
points.
Got lower than that, I swear.
No.
Anyways.
It was 14 when he got hurt.
Yeah, and we just kept it going.
Anyways, I was still terrified. Because I have seen a bigger lead than that be blown.
I wasn't scared of the game. All I thought about was Chuma. Like, all I could think about was, like, how...
A lot of times you'll see somebody go down with an injury like that, and it's like, oh, shoot, they're hurt. They can't play anymore. This was like watching Anthony get hurt last year.
Well, yeah,
I was screaming. You knew it was not good.
I've seen a guy go down with an ACL tear before, and that's what it looked like. He planted and it just gave. He was just like, oh, there it went. And went down.
That was about as painful as you can get, though.
Yeah.
I mean, in the moment, like, you knew Auburn should be cruising. This should be the happiest moment of this team's life. Like, as an Auburn basketball fan, it should be the best moment you've ever seen.
And it
took so much away from that.
And he was just destroying North Carolina.
Right.
They had nothing for him. Because it seemed like maybe they'd listened to a podcast
our friends
come out,
our SB Nation's Tar Heel blog,
who seemed to not even know.
I think his name was.
They didn't know his name.
They Chuma
didn't think they didn't even know he existed.
And dude went off for 20 and 11. Will McLaughlin, Dr. McLaughlin here from the McLaughlin firm. What was going through your head when Chuma went down with an apparent knee injury?
Well, kind of what Ryan was saying. I mean, I was kind of terrified, mostly for Chuma, because in that moment, you know, you're more worried about Chuma than anything else. And I remember the first possession after they took Chuma off the court, Carolina came down because they called travel on Chuma initially. And Carolina missed a shot, and we were kind of slow to go after the rebound, and Carolina ended up getting a three, and it cut the deficit to 11. And I'm thinking, not like this, guys. I mean,
maybe that's why I was scared.
That was in that moment was just kind of it was kind of tough to think, but you know, Auburn,
as we feel destroyed,
a little rough play at the second there. No, so it was just like, okay, in that moment, who's gonna step up and take charge? And Denzel Purifoy,
yeah, buddy,
he's been waiting all year for 2 years, really,
for that game,
for an opportunity like that. And boy, did he ever step up!
Started draining threes.
I'm usually the most positive guy in the room. I always go for the hopeful option and want the best. So, to be honest with you guys, when he went down, my first thought was 2008 Eastern Conference. Paul Pierce, I think it was Eastern Conference Finals. Paul Pierce goes down with a knee injury. They actually wheelchair Paul Pierce off. I don't like the Celtics, and so I hated this because I thought it was so phony baloney and typical Celtics nonsense. They wheelchair Paul Pierce off.
I loved this, by the way.
He comes back like 3 minutes later to hit a bunch of threes at the end of the game. Yeah. And guess what? He's fine. Like, you know, like, I don't even know what the problem was with his leg. But they wheelchaired him off of the court. And so all I'm thinking is, I really hope that this is Chuma's Paul Pierce moment. But he has just hyperextended his knee. He's overreacting because it hurt a pop and it hurts really bad right now. But he walked off the court. So I'm like, okay, he walked off. He's fine. They're going to go to the locker room. They're going to put some ice on it. He's going to say, okay, I can play. He's going to be really sore for a week, but he'll be fine. And then even our podcast we recorded the other day, we were talking about how...
Yeah, we thought he was going to maybe be able to play against Kentucky, because probably play against...
There was
an
early rumor out that it was a bone bruise.
Yeah.
And that was the rumor. I was like, oh, great, bone bruise.
And it wasn't just a rumor. Like, it was ESPN saying, oh, it's a bone bruise.
Yeah, ESPNU, I think, is who reported bone bruise. And then that was like, I was like, oh, my gosh, bone bruise? That means...
And then it was like, yeah, he's going to go get some MRIs. Yeah. But it was like, it's a bone bruise. And the MRIs did not come back good.
No, it was a complete tear of his ACL. He had surgery today, Tuesday, and hopefully is fine. Like, hopefully recovers fine.
It went well. Yeah.
Supposedly.
It went well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him, because like as we've talked about, he's not going to get to try out for NBA teams this year.
Well, there are people who think that there is a time frame of recovery that he could make it back in time to do some light workouts for NBA teams.
I don't see how that's been. Maybe like showing you can lift weights. That's
here's what
it.
I do. If I'm Chuma
Okeke, you can't cut, you can't jump.
If I'm Chuma Okeke and I get called
you're
to
not
an
talking
NBA
to
workout,
us,
first I'm not talking to you guys, yeah. I'm in a hospital in Florida. I wheelchair myself in, or I walk in as best I can, into that NBA gym with a little miniature pocket projector, and I project onto the wall the first 30 minutes of this North Carolina game, and I go, here, that's what I can do. Do you want me or do you not want me? Because that's me. And I'll be just like that in a couple of months.
So, to that, I actually think his performance in March may have... play a factor in him actually coming back, because I think before he was going to leave mainly because he was never going to play himself into like a top 10, top 5 pick.
Yeah.
But the way he played this March makes me think he can play himself.
2011 against North Carolina in the Sweet 16.
The only issue is he got a year older. If he comes back, he gets a year older. There are not a lot of guys drafted in the lottery over the age of 21. Over the age of 20, for that matter.
Yeah. So he'll be 21 next year.
He'll be 21. And there's, I mean, I have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure there weren't any 21-year-olds drafted in the first 15 picks last year. I mean, look who's tearing the league up right now. It's a bunch of 19, 20, and 21. Like Luka and Trae Young. They're all one-and-doners or never went to college at all. The NBA puts a huge priority on youth. Look at, I always bring this up, Jalen Brunson won a national championship at Villanova and was the best player in that game, was tournament MVP, and was the Naismith Award winner last year. And the Mavericks got him at the bottom of the second round. That is crazy. He was the best player in college basketball. Period.
So let me ask you a question, not knowing college basketball as well as, you know, other football. Why is that different than somebody like Tebow? And I guess Tebow is still a first-round pick, but like he knew he wasn't an NFL prospect. Won a Heisman, won national championship. He was the best college player.
That's true.
But is there still a gap in basketball like there is in football?
There's a huge gap in length and speed. The NBA game, because the lane is wider, because the three-point line is a little bigger, is even more spread out than the college game.
Yeah.
Because you can't play zone defense with a guy in the lane the entire time, you got to be able to move. You got to be able to run. So that's the main – they value youth and athleticism, and they're like, we'll figure out how to teach you how to play basketball, which is to their detriment in some ways. Like Steph Curry, for instance, if he was 4 inches taller – would have been the number one overall pick. But instead, he was passed by a ton of teams because it wasn't very tall. And now look at it. Like, it does – they value metrics and measurables and age more than they do sometimes. It's very Deshaun Watson-esque, whereas every college football fan would have told you, that dude should be a top 10 pick. But NFL scouts were like, oh, maybe not. Oh, Deshaun Watson, he might not be – but now they're coming around to realize they were wrong.
I think you bring up a good point with regards to Steph Curry. Just if thinking about it with Jared Harper. If Jared Harper was, you know...
If Jared was 6'5", he's not at Auburn anymore.
Exactly.
He was never at Auburn if he's 6'5".
Well, absolutely. I mean, he's probably still not, you know... And we don't know what he's going to end up doing, obviously. But, you know, if he's 6'3", 6'4", I'm pretty sure he would have been gone in the NBA last year. Yep. So, I mean, that just...
Absolutely. Well,
I think there. There'll be some people a lot smarter than all of us that will be advising Chuma on what to do as well. So I'm sure he'll go through whatever evaluations they can let him do while he's still hurt. And I think, I mean, those are run by the NBA. So the NBA will tell him where they think he will go. So I think his choice will be helped along by people that are smarter than us, have more information than we do, like what his timetable is, all that stuff. So.
I mean, but like I've seen him, some sites have him still in the first. Some sites have him falling. One site I saw had him falling all the way to the 44th overall pick. But that's still a mid-second round pick.
It's Hawks range, isn't it?
It is Hawks second round range.
I think a good bit of this draft is Hawks range there, to be fair.
They had him actually going, I believe, to the Sad Sack Kings.
Oh,
no. But what's like Auburn players always going to the Browns, reading against some terrible guys, NBA.
Auburn players and the Kings.
The Kings are really good. Like, the Kings are going to make the playoffs probably. If they don't make it this year, they're going to make the playoffs next year. They're going to be a really good team coming up.
You know who's not making the playoffs?
The Hawks.
LeBron.
LeBron.
Well,
the thing that's going to happen to Chuma is it's going to maybe be a team that is tanking because they'll draft a guy that they think is going to be good but isn't going to play next year because he's going to sit the whole year out. Like a Joel Embiid situation where you draft a guy and you go, look, I know he's not going
to
play.
Do you go to the NBA for a non-guaranteed contract?
Well, you do get paid.
Period. I mean, yes, you get paid. Yeah. I mean, it's a huge difference. It's not like being a second-round NFL pick.
No.
The first and second round in the NBA is a huge difference.
Top 10 pick.
If you're the 30th pick in the NBA draft, that's a lot better than the 32nd pick.
Very true.
By the way,
if you're the 15th pick, it's way better than the 17th
pick. All drafts should work like the baseball draft, where they just draft guys, and they can just go back if they don't.
The other thing that could happen to Chuma, he has to think about training staffs. Because there's some NBA teams that notoriously have really lousy training staffs. I don't want to throw New Orleans under the bus, but New Orleans, like the Pelicans are notorious around the league as having like the worst training staff in the league. The Wolves?
The Bulls.
The Bulls are not good. The Bulls are a bad organization. So if you find out you're in Pelicans or Bulls range, maybe Chuma's like, I don't want any part of that. I come back. Or maybe he thinks, you know what? The Spurs have a really good training staff. It's actually really funny in the NBA. You look at the teams whose training staffs are really good and thought of as really good. It's usually teams who are really good, except for the Suns. They have like the best, they're thought of as like the best training staff in the league, and they're horrible. But with that said, like, you're looking at a pro training staff. You're looking at every day, all day treatment, no class, and you don't have to go to class.
Yeah.
So, that I don't know.
What about class? Though?
Yeah, none. You know, and you get paid.
Actually, you'd just be watching film all day.
Yeah, and you're going to get paid NBA
money.
Might
be more class.
Yeah, it might be more class, to be honest with you.
Yeah, maybe. You're getting paid NBA money.
But you're getting paid for it. That's true.
League minimum, he's going to make like $750 his first year.
I mean, it's a lot of money.
Well, no, if you have a two-way contract and you're not on an active roster, though, you're not making league minimum.
Yeah, but if he gets drafted in the early first, he's not getting two-way.
I think that's the case. If he gets a first-round selection,
or mid-first,
he needs to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that said, you want to guys? We'll talk about the
Kentucky game.
The Kentucky game.
Yeah.
Do you guys talk about the time that Auburn defeated the University of Kentucky in basketball to go to the Final Four?
I know I said we were going to sweep them, but this is so much better than sweeping, right?
This is might as well have swept them. The other two didn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. Guys, I did not have a good feeling going into this game.
I neither.
This was the only game in this tournament that I was like, I don't think we're going to win this game. At all.
I woke up pretty confident.
Really?
Had a rough start to the game, too.
I woke up not confident, but I woke up kind of like I do, like I feel now. I'm like, I feel like I'm playing with house money. I really don't.
Yeah.
If we lose to the Elite Eight, like, whatever.
Yeah. I woke up feeling okay.
We're sitting in the Elite Eight. Chimo Kiki has torn ACL. What does Auburn have to lose?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I mean, I was more nervous than I was for the Kansas or Carolina game. I felt really good about those matchups, but the Kentucky matchup was just something I was really not looking forward to, that game. But I really felt like the
playing them a third time really played in our favor. It's really hard to beat a team.
One of my favorite things that happened after this game was how, like, I'm a John Calipari fan. There's not a lot of those in the world, but I'm one of them.
Good old ESPN. Never misses a story.
I like John Calipari. The thing about him, though, he said something after the game that I thought was just the most ridiculous quote, when he said that he was mad because he only had, like, how tough it is to prepare when you only have 36 hours to prepare for Auburn. Number one, Auburn had the same 36 hours to prepare Kentucky.
And you've already done it.
Number two, this is the third time. This is not like you are playing Virginia for the first time and it's some weird team whose defense is different than everybody else's.
He's
or you're
probably
playing like
a Bruce Pearl team, what, 20 times this
year?
Yeah,
and like, we're a conference opponent. We play like twice a year every year.
They used to be in the same division, so they definitely played twice a year when he was at Tennessee.
And you had your full complement of players, Kentucky did, you know. Yeah. Reed Travis was hurt for the second game. He didn't play. You know, P.J. Washington missed the first two games of the NCAA tournament. He was back.
Guys, P.J. Washington is really good.
He's
we had nothing for him. Do you know who we did have
something
for?
Wisconsin defense.
Who's that? Tyler Harrow.
Yes. We had
a man named Samir Dowdy.
Because Tyler Harrow killed us in the second game.
Yeah. First game, too. He had 20 in the first game.
That's right.
Yep.
He killed us.
He didn't do anything in this game. He hit two threes?
Samir Dowdy, whose name I mispronounce in the song, and every time I hear it.
You got to pay penance every time.
I know, Dowdy. Every time I say it, I have to really make sure I pronounce it correctly. I should never Dowdy. But Samir had probably his best defensive game as an Auburn Tiger.
Dude, he was all over Tyler Harrow. He was not doing anything.
I thought Bryce Brown could only shoot threes. Like, that's all he was valuable for.
He's dropping some dimes.
That's what the North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brain trust told me.
He was dropping.
What Bryce Brown did was a very, like, I put it on Twitter that Bryce Brown's gone Mamba mentality, because he really, he played a very Kobe Bryant game.
Yeah, he did.
Like, what are you going to give me? Are you giving me a 15-foot jump shot? Guess what? I'm going to make every one I take.
And it's not going to touch the rim. It's not going to touch the glass. It's just going to go right through that net.
If you're going to get right up in me, I'm going to get my three dribbles. And guess what I do 5 billion times in practice since I was 9 years old? I take two dribbles to the middle of the lane, and I jump up. We got a fire truck, guys, in the broadcast.
He probably used to do this and say Kobe when he did it.
Auburn's bravest making a guest appearance on the pod. Like you've said, like that is a go to the gym by yourself practice shot that he probably has taken 9 million times.
Coming right down here.
Maybe we should take a break. Good night.
Jared. And my guy, Bryce Brown, shooting that thing from way downtown.
And we're back. The fire truck has passed by us.
You can still hear it. But
yeah. That got really loud really quick. Jack's going to probably help us out with a little editing.
Not a chance.
Yeah, he's dealing with a little one. So.
That's right.
It's basically what every night sounds like for Jack.
Fire trucks?
Just loud noises.
Oh, okay.
The beauty of live podcasting. You know?
Yeah, so...
Going back to your John Calipari thing, before the game I said, we're going to see how John Calipari's fake adversity BS that he always does stacks up against our real adversity.
Yeah.
And we came out.
I don't know. I think he's got some adversity. ESPN was talking about him being fired.
No.
And he gets a lifetime contract.
Yeah, and he gets a lifetime contract.
5 hours later.
I think, does he have Jimmy Sexton? Because that sounded very
good. Yeah, he's a move right there.
So I think reason I like Calipari, very similar to Pearl in that, for some reason, I don't know what it is about these two guys, whether it's the way that their teams look or the way they look or the way they talk. People seem to think that, they recruit really well and they don't have good X's and O's.
They're decent promoters. Like, I think Bruce is a better promoter.
No, maybe. But both of them can flat out X and O with anybody. There's not anybody in college basketball. If I had to go, all right, I need an out-of-bounds play to win a game. Those two are high on my list of guys that I choose to draw up a play real quick.
Well, and the thing that people, I guess, just don't give Calipari credit for is his ability to take these raw talent guys and make something out of them.
Guys who've been told since they were six, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then he goes to Kentucky, and instead of them, it's similar to what Saban has done to Alabama in a lot of ways. Right. Instead of telling them, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, he goes, this is how we do things at Kentucky.
Yeah.
You're going to either do it like this or you're not going to play minutes. I don't care what you were. I don't care how many All-American games you went to. You're going to play this system or you're not going to play.
It's almost like he intentionally loses those non-con games in the beginning of the season.
I really, you know what? Yeah. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if that's actually the case.
I think a lot of that is the struggling to get this going. Like every time they take a while to get it going, and then they're always really good by the time.
He has a Malzahnian start to the season almost every year.
But that's excusable in basketball.
Right.
Like, you can get away with it.
You can really only go up after you give up 118 points in your first game, which is what they did against Duke. I mean, they lost by 34, but, you know, that's kind of the classic Kentucky team. They may start slow, but they get better as the year goes on.
Yeah, guys, can we talk about one aspect of the game that was not really there for us against Carolina, but was really there for us against Kentucky? And not for the Cats. And that is, we could shoot free throws.
Oh, dude.
And Kentucky couldn't.
Yeah.
We fouled them a billion times, and they could not make free throws.
It helps when you have Jared Harper at the line, not Austin Wiley. Put that out there.
Bryce Brown was 11 for 11?
Yeah.
Jared was
11 for 11.
Bryce hits. There was one point in this game, right, where he'd only scored, like, three.
I think between Jared and Bryce, they had 10 points. They scored 40 in the second half.
That sounds high, to be honest with you.
I think Bryce had 7.
Okay.
Wow. I know Jared hit a bucket late in the first half.
Yeah, the 4-point play. Yeah. That, which really got the game started because Auburn was down 10 around the 4-minute mark. Jared hit a 3, got fouled, made the 3 throw. And Auburn kind of made the run toward the end of the first half to cut the deficit to 2 right before half. And, of course, Kentucky hit a 3 right before the halftime to make it a 5-point halftime deficit. But at that point, as bad as Auburn had played or struggled to shoot the ball down 5 points, I'm like, hey, we're in a good spot.
No, I felt really good at halftime because Jared and Bryce had not done a whole lot in the first half on offense.
Bryce
didn't the North Carolina game sort of play out like that
very
too?
Very similar.
We went on a mini run at the end of the half.
We led at halftime, but it was...
by a bucket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a chart somebody put on Twitter today that had the in-game efficiency ratings by quarter, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm.
10 minutes.
Of each team in the Final Four, and Auburn's is the worst among Final Four teams.
Double play.
6-4-3. Auburn's is the worst among Final Four teams. 6-4-3. There was a pitch there in the middle.
It was 4-6-3.
Second base, then 6-3. I was going to say, I'm not crazy. Yeah.
So Auburn had the worst efficiency in the first quarter, quote unquote, of any team in the Final Four. Then the second quarter, quote unquote quarter, because college basketball plays halves, Auburn's was like, he's like middle of the pack. The third section of the game, Auburn's is at the top of the, no one is within sniffing distance left of the Final Four.
I believe it.
In that third area, and then the fourth back to middle of the pack. So it feels like games are going slow start, pick up the pace, kill them, and then kind of ease off the gas. because this is exactly what's happening, actually, in terms of Auburn's offensive efficiency.
It's one of those times where the old eye test meets up with your with the
advanced stats. Yeah, so I think Auburn's efficiency, Auburn is, what did Josh Dubbs say, something like Auburn was like the second most efficient team North Carolina had played all year.
Yeah.
And is in the top 10 most efficient teams that everybody we've played in this tournament has seen all season. And we just are playing our most efficient and best basketball by any metric right now.
So fun to watch.
This Auburn team that's playing right now beats the Auburn team that played Maui by 15.
Kills them
easily.
Yeah.
We turned that team over 20 times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we're so relentless. That's why we're so fun.
Tell me, Dr. McLaughlin, what I need to know about how Auburn matches up with the Wahoos.
What? Time out.
I don't know why they're
called the Cavaliers.
I know. Wahoo is their battle cry in the same way that War Eagle is ours.
Get out of here, Wahoos.
I guess. Well, I actually don't know that answer.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I've been trying to get my Final Four plans finalized and together. But what I have seen about Virginia, they are number one in the country in score defense. I think they only give up about 55 points a game.
Wow.
This is a game that we've talked about amongst our, you know, in our College and Mag group me, an Auburn-Virginia game, contrasting styles. The Virginia slow it down offense versus Auburn's, you know, fun, up-tempo.
Chaotic.
And I'm really fascinated to see how it goes. Kyle Guy is the leading scorer for them. I believe he's about a 42% three-point shooter as well.
That's the thing, is they're slow, but they're really good shooters.
They're like a 40.
They get their shot.
41% from three as a team, I believe.
That's similar to New Mexico State, right?
They are Bryce Brown from three as a team.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, they are. Actually, that's not a terrible comparison, I would say.
New Mexico State on
offense.
New
Mexico State with, like, good players.
Way better defense. Yeah,
right.
Same style.
With five stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, with ACC caliber players, not whatever.
It seems like the two styles, it's like watching the 2010 Iron Bowl. Like, it's a slow, plodding, strong Nick Saban team and a high tempo, just blow the doors off everybody all the time.
Oh.
Ran right into that brick wall. It's foul ball. What you've got in this game, though, is what, like, I really, really hate Virginia basketball. Oh, taking another break.
Jared.
All right, Orange and True Podcast brought to you by that blue Toyota Tacoma.
No.
Oh, yeah. That's what you listen to, is us talking about baseball games that are happening. We, like I was saying, one thing about this Virginia matchup is one of those things that you just don't get in the NBA are two teams whose styles of play are...
That's why pro sports are dumb.
...so crazily different. Whereas in college basketball, you can have two teams playing in the same sport and doing it in completely different ways. It's not as much of a copycat league only because there's so many teams. There's 300 and something teams in college basketball. So you can have the diversity of philosophy that you just don't... Like, Virginia's style of play just won't work in the pros. And so no one runs it. Or they don't think it'll work in the pros, so no one runs it. Whereas Auburn is
an I formation.
Yeah. So where Auburn is the new thinking of basketball. Auburn epitomizes the Silicon Valley generation of really, like, not the show Silicon Valley. Shout out to those guys. But
Mike Judge.
Dallas's own Mike Judge. But Auburn epitomizes this new thinking, the advanced stats, the threes are more than two type of basketball that I really, really like. And Virginia just doesn't. That's a big strikeout in the fifth.
Strikeout looking.
Two men on. Yeah, so you guys want to talk a little bit about baseball? Or do you want to go some more basketball?
No, I'm still in the basketball, apparently.
All right, so.
Sorry, Drew.
Virginia runs, also has slow games. Slow games that are not close games.
Yeah.
Virginia's games are usually low scoring and extremely close.
Yeah. Now, I will say they beat North Carolina earlier.
They did.
Yes. 69-61.
Three losses, Will. They only have, and two of them are to Duke.
Yeah, two were to Duke, and the other one was to Florida State in the ACC tournament. And actually, what's impressive about the Virginia win over Carolina, that was about 48 hours after they had lost at home to Duke.
Yeah.
So the fact that they went to Chapel Hill and won that game. And Carolina had like holding Carolina 61 points is quite impressive.
That's crazy.
And scoring 69 on them.
Yeah.
This Virginia team scoring 69 points is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I think it was a statistic that if Carolina scored at least 74 points, they were like 29-1 this year. So, and of course Carolina scored 80.
Yeah.
On Friday, and that was only the second time they lost the game this year where they'd scored more than 74.
Yeah, this matchup scares me. Like, it scares me more than the Kentucky one did, because mainly because the two times that we played a team that really loved to slow it down was Ole Miss, and they beat us twice. And they're not nearly as good as this Virginia team. But they play that slow, plodding, and I think they came into the game. I don't even know how Ole Miss plays usually.
Ole Miss.
I don't think, as far as Ole Miss goes, like, I think, especially that second game in Auburn, they really made it a point to slow the game down, take as much time off the shot clock. And if you remember that game, there was a lot of, Ole Miss made a lot of threes at the end of shot clocks, especially Devontae Shuler. He made, I can remember four off the top of my head, but that was literally their strategy. And Kermit Davis has really done a good job of not only coaching Ole Miss, but he's done a good job when he's faced Bruce Pearl in the past. So Kermit Davis has Bruce Pearl's number. He's one of the coaches that does.
So I'm hoping that that Kermit Davis has coached against Bruce enough and has his number. I don't think Bruce is coached against Virginia's coach, but he is familiar with him. He apparently knows the guy's dad who used to coach.
He studied his dad. He studied his dad's defense when his dad was at Wisconsin.
That's right. And he said even before his dad was at Wisconsin, too. And he's friends with his sister as well.
Wow, a lot of connections, yeah. Bruce.
So I think Bruce knows everyone in the coaching community. That's what I say. But, a good coach is going to have his team prepared anyway. So they're going to watch film on us. We're going to watch film on them and just see where we go.
Yeah. All right. You guys moving right along. What was it like at Toomer's Corner? Who rolled Toomer's after?
I think, did all of us?
Yeah. I rolled after the first, after North Carolina. I was not there after the next game.
We were all
there. Was, each of those was like a big time football victory, which I've never seen for anything besides football.
Right.
And we got it twice in the same weekend. By the end of the Kentucky game, this was a...
Got it. Yeah.
This was an Iron Bowl level rolling.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was comical after the Kentucky game because everything was already rolled.
And they began leaving things up, which is hilarious.
Well, they didn't have time to get it down.
They left it up now. Yeah. They've seen some of it. They're like, we're just going to leave some trees rolled.
Well, unfortunately, the two new trees got
rolled. They all got rolled.
Yeah, they all. They have been.
I've said this before. Like, none of them, they're not the original trees. So rolling them to me,
All right.
Whatever, they're going to die. They're going to replant them.
Yeah, most likely.
They don't hold a special place in my heart. It sounds bad.
I'm almost, this is probably an unpopular opinion, I'm almost team metal trees at this point.
I'm actually in the same boat.
I'm not.
Give me the metal trees that we can't kill.
They're gonna kill enough to where some of the clones are going to be big enough to plant out there, and then we just better leave those alone.
Or whatever trees live, we plant a bunch in this herbicide, whichever ones live are super trees.
I don't think it's the herbicide killing them now. It's the getting rolled. And it just.
I was told it's still there. The soil is still pretty rotty.
Well, arsonists help too.
Well,
Another special guest, my wife Caroline.
Random German arsonist who was in town.
Yeah, Caroline was there at the rolling.
Yeah, I like seeing snow in Auburn every now and then. Yeah.
Especially
really nice.
In March.
Yeah.
Which is when it seems to happen most of the time.
We should do it in March every time.
I went for all four of the tournament wins, and Thursday, it was a decent amount. The Kansas game, there was a nice crowd. Of course, being a Saturday night, I had a lot to do with it. The Kentucky game was awesome, the North Carolina game, but then the Kentucky game. I was actually downtown for the Kentucky game, so just being there right after the game ended and seeing all the people just pour out of where they were watching it, whether it be Sky Bar or just wherever, it was an incredible sight.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. It was, you could see everybody, there's videos of this, from seconds after the buzzer goes off. Everybody's pouring out of all the restaurants and the bars downtown. It's not like a football game where everybody's coming from the stadium. Everybody's already there.
Yeah, everybody's already downtown. It's an amazing thing. It's very it's a community festival type atmosphere of like a New Year's Eve or a, you know what I mean? Like it's like, yeah, it's like, it's a happening that you want to be a part of at Tuber's Quarter when it's an away game.
I would rather roll
Tumors on away game weekends at home. Almost.
Oh, it's
almost
fun.
It's a lot more fun when you haven't spent 4 hours in the sun.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I took my son to his first rolling of Tumors.
I took Fran to her first post Tumors. Big post Tumors the other day.
I did, yeah. I saw a picture.
Yeah.
He posted a picture. Alex got his first roll in, so that was pretty cool.
I rolled Alex.
Yeah,
that's around Timbo.
So great. After the Kentucky game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We drove down there. And,
Do you prefer the nighttime rolling or the daytime rolling that we had this week?
I'm down for whatever.
Any rolling?
A win is a win.
A win's a win?
All right.
The best is always the next day when you can go downtown and go get breakfast or something like that, and you just see the trees.
I ruined a pair of blue Vans yesterday walking through just mud puddles of
toilet paper
mud.
Oh no,
really gross. It's like I got spit wads all over my shoes.
That's terrible.
Super gross. Well, you guys want to talk a little baseball?
Yeah, I guess we can. Okay.
So baseball went, they took a series from South Carolina.
That's right.
Yeah, did two out of three.
Yeah.
Lost the Saturday game. The pitching staff's kind of struggling lately, but they pitched well enough in Columbia.
You win up there, that's a big deal.
Well, the series the weekend previous, we only had one real starter.
Right.
Because Jack Owen had been hurt. I don't even know. Did he pitch?
He didn't pitch this weekend either. So
it's pretty big that we won that series.
Yeah, this is not a great South Carolina team. I think they've had a bunch of injuries and stuff, and they just kind of hang on right now
until our pitching staff gets healthy.
Yeah,
I don't know a ton about college baseball, but I do know that you win games in Mississippi State, you win games at South Carolina, and you win games at Vanderbilt, and you win games at Florida, and that usually means you're a pretty good baseball team.
Yeah.
And Auburn's done two of those things already. They've beaten Mississippi State at Mississippi State once, and they've beaten South Carolina two out of three at their barn. So, barn, it's a basketball. Basketball expression.
It's fine.
I mean, as good as the SEC is in baseball, the whole mantra is, as we have an infield hit for Auburn here in the sixth inning.
Rambles.
If you go on the road, don't get swept. And, if you're at home, you try to take two or three, obviously. And as good as this league is, with I believe there's 10 teams ranked in the top 25, one road win this weekend would have been great, but getting two or three was even
pretty
better.
Huge. That's really huge. So, I'm excited still.
Yep.
There's been times where I have, by this point in the season, the excitement has worn off, and we're still clicking right along. So.
Yeah, Chief and I have been joking on the pod for weeks now that, we're going to talk a bunch of Braves baseball once baseball starts up. Honestly, I'll be watching basketball still.
Yeah,
I haven't been able to get into baseball yet. But because it's still basketball
season.
Can
we talk about my favorite thing about basketball season right now? Is that I have not once looked at read or ingested any sort of spring football news.
Oh, dude, at all.
I don't even know what day it is.
You know who's happier about that than you?
Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
He loves this. The happiest man on the planet.
What a spring football.
I mean, right now, Gus Malzahn is able to kind of...
Nobody cares.
I thought you gave...
Oh, yeah, I gave this for Lent.
Yeah, we can't talk about this currently.
You're right.
We've got a few more weeks.
I'll tell you.
But you're not actually talking about football. You're talking about football.
I'm talking about football, exactly. Which I don't like doing in March anyway.
Get Ives over here?
Yeah, let's bring Ives over if we can.
He's right here.
Ives!
Keeper of the Jolly Obby.
Oh, he's bringing Boomer over here.
Right now we're bringing over Kevin Ives at AUPPL.
The source
Twitter.
Of Auburn baseball on the Twitter stream.
Hey, Boomer.
King of the deck.
Boomer's here too.
Ives, what does it mean to you to take two out of three against South Carolina this weekend?
I mean, it was good because Carolina's this is not a good Carolina year. And at least with how the SEC is right now, you really need to take any road game that you can, because Carolina's RPI is going to be high, so that's going to help us out to begin with. We just want to keep pace. And so we're going to go into Arkansas coming up on Thursday, and we're going to go with a winning record in the SEC, and we're just in good position right now. You just don't want to drop those type of games. Like, if we don't have a lot of those on our schedule, but to keep at the upper level of the conference, you have to beat like South Carolina, Alabama. You have to beat the teams that are down this year.
Right. Which even those teams are still really darn good.
Right.
And now we've had two road series, and we still got a winning record. Like,
yes.
Which is amazing.
We finished an 8-game road trip with 500. Dropped the Kettle City Classic, unfortunately.
Yeah, well.
But
at least that wasn't a conference game.
It's only second time ever. Right. Although some guy on Twitter was kind of angry with the Alabama SID. He was like, we should have three SEC wins. And he like listed it. Was like one against Auburn.
Yeah.
One none against Florida. He like even listed them when they got swept. Oh, so
that's hilarious.
After review, the play stands as called. We have runner on first here for
Auburn. I really don't think we're supposed to talk about what's actually happened.
No, you can have it's not the NFL. You don't have to have
express reconsider Major League Baseball.
Otherwise, I would get in trouble for me always live tweeting the games.
That's true.
Nobody's like come up and be like, stop that shit. Stop. Sorry, stop.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, sorry.
It's a podcast. Ives, what is your favorite thing about the experience that you've cultivated up here on the parking deck?
I think it's really just everybody feeling welcome up here and coming up, because we've had folks that have come and gone, and like it seems to have grown a little bit, but we've had everything from like deck prom to people just kind of have some deck parties and stuff like that. And we'd still buy tickets to go to the game. We're not just freeloading and mooching,
right?
But I think it's the fact that you can come up here, and baseball's a sport where a lot of people don't pay attention all the time, and so coming up to the deck, it's a little bit better to do that.
Yes.
Okay.
And so,
and you can bring your own beer.
You can bring your own beer, as long as it's in a cup or a koozie. So this one is in a koozie right now.
Yes. I can see it.
There's not a lot of rules up the deck. No grills at the top, so no open flame. Don't back your truck in.
That's right.
Yeah, no back your truck in.
There is one backed in.
Clean up after yourself, and if you have stuff, no glass, and if you have everything, if you have a drink, put it in a cup. So, although we've kind of expanded that you can at least put in a koozie this year, you'll be okay.
Just covered up.
Guys, it's one of the unique experiences in college athletics is the Auburn parking deck, I think. And I think it's something that everybody, if you're in Auburn in the springtime, make a stop by the deck. Buy a ticket to the game.
And there's three levels, too. I mean, we've got folks that hang out right below us.
If you don't want to stand in the sun all day, you can still stand.
It's like that Bruce Lee movie where, like, and you're, like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at the top of the
tower.
I don't want people to come up here and beat my ass to try to, like, win the dojo.
It's like Enter the Dragon.
Good luck to him, though.
Good luck to him.
I thought you were about to make a random Last Dragon reference.
No.
Okay, Bruce Leroy.
I should have worn my all-yellow tracksuit, so then people would have known.
Then people would expect you to think you were the bride.
Exactly. Okay. Oh, that's right. They took that. Yeah. Kill Bill took that from Bruce Lee.
Oh, no. Absolutely. Quentin Tarantino stole stuff.
Oh.
He would never do that.
Not his first time. Oh, man. Well, guys, that's going to go ahead and do it for us here on the Orange and True podcast. But I think all the Orange and Truthers for listening in on this, as baseball scores a run now.
No. Not yet. Runners on second and third. One out. Need a fly ball.
Sixth inning. It's like I always say, guys.
You may hear from us from Minneapolis if Will and I can find
it. I'm not going to be there, I don't think, unless a special episode. Guardian Angel brings me to Minneapolis. I don't think so.
You can use that sweet sugar money.
You think. You would think.
We didn't talk about this on the podcast. It's kept going.
It's going to the Final Four.
It's a monster.
It's kept going. I now have people desperately trying to get me to do a follow-up song, and I really, like...
Lightning can't strike twice.
Yeah, there isn't a follow-up song to this.
So is it bad that when it blew up, I was like, God, how is he going to follow this up?
I'm not going to follow it up.
No, you can't. Chief, you can't try.
I'm going to try. I'm going to record a normal Crow song with like a really long, drawn-out version of Total Eclipse of the Heart, and no one's going
to
enjoy it.
You need an acoustic version. Just you on just guitar.
See, nice there's slow. A band on campus called the Magic Johnsons that I played with.
I did the one song with the Magic Johnsons.
I might have them play the song again, and I'll record it maybe on a video, but who knows. All that to say, we're glad you stopped by Auburn Twitter's official podcast. We love you madly. Amen.